good start. You're at the prime of your career now, yeah. aren't you? Prime of your career. Yeah. Say when, Nick.
Oh, here's my coffee coming, Nick. I've signed for it too.
Oh, do you?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good.
Good.
Some coffee?
No, I'm good, thank you, lovely.
That's good, thank you.
I can never remember my hotel room.
Oh, you've stayed in a few.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So you come from Taranaki. I wrote 251 on my docket the other day. Sure, I'm not 251.
It's one of the things, like, I mean, I'm nowhere near where you've been, but it takes a lot now for me to get excited about a hotel room.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just a bed and a bathroom, aren't they?
It's that, it's that and the, like, I'm away between 170 and 200 days a year.
Yeah.
And I'm 60 and I'm, you know, I've got a grandson and I'm ready to spend a wee bit more time at home.
You're ready to nest a wee bit in a reverse nesting.
Well, I'm still going to do a bit of work, but, you know,
yeah.
just calm down a wee bit.
And feel... So when... G'day guys, we are with, I think I can call him the professor, not quite the nutty professor, Wayne Smith, last test match.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, you have been called. No, you haven't. You're the loveliest man in New Zealand rugby, the last test match in New Zealand. It's been a hell of a ride, hasn't it? A hell of a ride.
Yeah, it's been an unusual ride, probably. You know, when I think back to my school days, my biggest dream was playing for Pitara Athletic when I left school. You know, that's all I wanted
to
do.
That was your aspiration?
That was my aspiration, yeah. Well, they were a great, club team. And, yeah, because you're not really... Well, I wasn't really brought up to do anything out of the ordinary, you know. Just had a little rural town upbringing. But, I know things... Things happen beyond your control. There's always a bit of luck in life too, and here I am.
That's kind of how I figure you, though. I don't figure you as being that great, I mean, ego, the big sort of bolshy sporting type. So what drove you, not just as a player, but as a coach?
Contest. I know I grew up with a really competitive instinct. I was probably famous in... for throwing tantrums when I was a kid.
How bad?
I wanted to win all the time.
Like, how bad were the tanties?
Oh, you know, I just wanted to win all the time. I just didn't... Oh, no, it's just when I was kids, I was a sprinter. Mum used to take me to all the athletic events around Central North Island. And, yeah, I don't know, just something from within my family, I suppose. I was just hugely competitive.
See, here's the thing, though. I remember talking with Greg Norman a couple of years ago, and it was a really fascinating insight because Norman was number one in the world, as you know, for the best part of 3 years. Probably should have won a lot more majors. But I look at what he did post his career, and it was the opening question I posed him. Was he a better golfer, or was he a better administrator and business person? So, Smithy, are you a better coach than you were a player?
I enjoyed playing more. Probably a couple of my best years I had was as a player-coach in Italy. I think playing the game are the best years of your life. They're the best years of my life. I absolutely loved it, whether it was for my club. You know, I played for Belfast down in Christchurch, whether it was Canterbury, whether it was the All Blacks. I just absolutely loved it. And it was like living a dream for me. You know, I was a skinny little kid. Never, as I said, never thought I'd ever do anything in rugby, really, in terms of a player. But, you know, things happen and you get breaks and, as I say, sometimes it's out of your control. You just keep... You feel like a fraud sometimes, you know.
You feel like you're going to be found out.
Yeah, that's
people
right.
People walk up and they're going to go, actually, this kid ain't that good.
No.
Yeah,
look at him, trying to be an All Black.
But it really hasn't happened that way. I mean, you're 60 now and rugby has become... Yeah, you know, of course, family is number one, I'm sure it is for you, but rugby has become your life.
Yeah. Trish would say that the All Blacks in particular would rank with family.
Is that a bone of contention a wee bit for Trish?
No, not really. No, she just accepts it. It's been a big part of her life. You know, the All Blacks are a massive part of your family's life. And whether you win or whether you lose, it's always exhilarating. You know, it's a great thing to be involved in. As a coach... It's a funny position, a coach, because effectively you're only there to help these guys get better, slightly better. They're already good. You never know if you're any good at it or not, really. You've got huge talent to work with. You don't have to make any tackles or score any tries yourself. So you go along this pathway of thinking you're doing a bit of good work, but you never really know.
Because I'm wondering for you, and I'm sorry to bring up the bad times, Mr. Smith, but of course there was 01 for you as head coach, there was 07 for you as part of that coaching panel. I mean, it's always one of those wondrous cliche questions in the media we ask, but does that help define your story?
Yeah. You probably can't talk about my story without
those things
going through the bad times. Because they have defined me as a coach, I think, and they've developed me as a coach. I don't think I'd be anywhere near as good a coach if I hadn't been through 2001 and 2007. 2001 was really difficult, so I'd come from Crusaders. We'd had a lot of success against, probably against predictions, probably against our own predictions. But we'd won a couple of titles, and, you know, you can get carried away with the fact that, oh, we've won, game's easy. I stepped up to the All Blacks as a head coach, and, man, it made a real impression on me how much bigger it was, how much more scrutiny there was, how much more work there was to do. Whether it was the fact that I had in my mind this is the ultimate job and I worked hard, I'm not too sure. But, you know, I became a bit overwhelmed with all the responsibilities, all the work. And remember, in those days, you coached with one other coach, so it was Tony Gilbert and I. We didn't have, you know, a lot of people handling every different area. So there were massive challenges, and I was working really hard. We got a couple of results, you know, against Australia that I took responsibility for. We lost them in the same manner, and I always felt that was my role as head coach to fix that up from one year to the next. Unfortunately, I said that in my interview
with Deeks.
The interview with Deeks was, I just answered the questions honestly. He rang me, I think it was the day after we'd lost in Australia, lost in the 8th minute of injury time or 7th minute of injury time. And, you know, I was just really honest with him. And I told him, you know, that I wasn't sure I'd done the best job I could. I needed to get better. I wasn't sure if I was the man for the job even. And then I had a review of the season about 10 days later, which I felt was pretty soon after a traumatic event. I remember Anton Oliver drove up from Dunedin. So he rang me and he said, "Smithy, I haven't been out of my house for a week. Can I come up and see you?" I said, "Well, I haven't been out of the house." I dug a rill in the backyard, much to Trisha's chagrin. I dug this big ditch, and then I lined it with bricks, and I turned it into a rill.
With barbed wire? Was it like the Berlin Wall?
Yeah, just about. It was a massive... You could see it from the moon. It was that big. And so I wasn't in that greater place at that point. I had trouble facing the public because we'd stuffed up. You know, we should have won the Bledisloe and the championship both years, and we stuffed up. So anyway, Anton came up, and so we thought, well, we've got to go out in the public. So we went down to the pub in Papanui. So we're there getting a beer, and Norman Maxwell came with us. So we went down there and we got a beer, and so the first bloke that came up said, "I'll buy you fellas a beer." So he bought us a beer and he said, "Hey Anton, I heard you threw yourself under a bus and missed."
Oh God.
But it was great, you see. Mm. It was great. He'd blown a line out. It was great. It was getting back to normality, you know. It's getting back to facing the people again. We had a hell of a night. And then I had my review a few days later. And I just basically said the same thing to the review panel that I said to Deeks, and wasn't sure I was the right man, but I wanted, if I was going to get the job again, I wanted to be sure, and I needed support from the board, I needed support from everyone. So I said, I'll reapply for the job. I think my review was a good one, and so I think I would have been rolled over if I'd wanted to be, but I didn't really want to be because I didn't want to go into the job without huge support. And I soon found out that I didn't have support. So it was the right decision.
How was that for you? I mean, as you said, everything in your career has sort of happened above and beyond.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, not to have that belief in you by key people around you. How was that?
Well, it was fine, really. I remember coming home. I'd been at the under 16 camp in Palmerston North, and I knew I wasn't going to get the job by that stage. But I still went to the camp, and I spent a couple of days there. And then when I came home, I came down my street, and there were all these cars parked outside. So the news had clearly hit while I was in the plane, and so all my mates and family were around home, and there were people crying, and I walked in. And then Dave Rutherford, the CEO, rang me to make it official. So I asked him, you know, what was it that, I think I knew what it was, but what was it that meant I didn't get the job? And he said the other bloke showed more passion than I did. And I remember saying to him, "Your mind's on the inside, David." And that was the last conversation we had. And so for me, like, I'm an optimist, so I just felt, well, you know, something else will come up. I'll get back on the horse pretty quickly and I'll learn from this. My family held a grudge way more than I did.
Wow.
But, you know, probably 2 months later, I was in Northampton, head coach of Northampton, back on the horse, loving the club, loving the opportunity again, and it was another chance to develop as a coach. And so by the time I did come back, I was way more able to cope with the workload and the pressures and the scrutiny that was involved with being an All Black coach.
What do you think, Wayne, it is like now? So even with Steve at the moment, I mean, the press conference yesterday, there's a lot of people, as you know, that are a bit worried. You know, some of the media are jumping up and down. You know, we've got problems. We're already starting to think about a World Cup. You know what Graham went through, you know, post 07 now. I mean, you talk about what it was like back in 01 as an All Black coach. What's it like now in 2017 to deal with that as an All Black coach?
Well, it's totally different. So 2007 was difficult, and I found it particularly difficult on a personal level when we flew home after the quarterfinal, after losing the quarterfinal. We stopped in Tokyo on the way through, hopped off, got into the airport, and there were groups of Kiwis heading over to Europe to watch us play the semi-final.
Yep.
You know, and that's probably the worst day of my life. It was...
How were they towards you? Or how were you towards them, I guess?
Well, all you could be was apologetic. You know, what do you say? And when you caught up with them afterwards, a lot of them sold their tickets once they got over there.
Yeah.
And just travelled around Europe.
Had a great time.
You know, but... well, I don't know if they had a great time, but...
Well, later, I mean...
The great time would have been to see us play, and so you feel that really... I always felt that responsibility, the accountability, hugely. You know, I still do. You know, you've got huge expectations on you. You've got people spending their life savings to come watch you play. You know, that's a big responsibility. So I found that pretty difficult. We arrived back in Christchurch. There's good support at Christchurch Airport, but over time, I think that dwindled. And living in Christchurch, I've got to be truthful here, and it was pretty difficult at the time because, you know, Robbie had a crack at the All Black job. We thought he would get it. Certainly Graham and I thought he would get it, and Graham, after the interview, rang me. Trish and I were at an Italian function, actually, and he rang and said, "We're buggered, mate. We're not going to get the job." He didn't think he'd done very well at the interview. And next day we were back as All Black coaches. So that's how life happens, you know. And so we got given another chance, and we all learnt from that. Steve and Graham and Shandy and Gilbert and I, we all learnt hugely from 2007. And we and our families committed our sights so that wouldn't happen again. But what I was going to say, though, was we're still coming through to 2011. When you look back on that period from 2004 to 2011, we won 89 tests out of 103. which is a phenomenal record. But the only thing that validated us as a team was winning the World Cup in 2011. And if we hadn't won that, we would have been hopeless. We would have been...
Well, Graham talks about some of the that he would have had to have gone and put a beret on and gone to Siberia and smoked a lot of pot, I think is the term that he said to me. I mean, can you imagine it from your point of view as well? I mean, you would have had to live with 01, 07, yeah. 2011. I mean, where would you have gone to?
That's part of coaching though, isn't it? I mean, you go into it knowing that not everything's going to be easy. And yeah, you just got to handle it.
I get that though, but then the perception would have been, and I'm sorry to use this word, but that maybe Wayne Smith, the coach, would have been a dud because you look through his career.
Yeah, would have been a failure.
Would have been a failure. If you look over the, I mean, what does it say on Wikipedia? Wayne Smith lost XYZ. Now you look through what you've done and you've been part of one of the most glorious periods of All Black, and not just All Black, but sporting achievements across the globe here. So it is a matter of 1.87, 2011 World Cup has sent you this way, not that way.
That's right. And so in 2017, poor performances they don't have the teeth gnashing as much as they used to. There's still a wee bit of angst around. Look at 2015 in the World Cup when opening round.
You were awful.
We weren't playing that well.
We should just bring them home now.
And then France came in the quarterfinal, but we had a plan. And we've got a plan. I'm not going to be part of the longer plan, but there's a plan in place. Now, we've got a lot of young kids who have come in who now the game is complex, and the All Blacks are probably the best at teaching decision making within the game, but it can cloud you at the start when you're told all of a sudden that, or you're asked what are you looking for, what do you see to do this play, how do you call that. We're teaching all that sort of stuff. It can at the start, it can make you a bit sluggish on the field because you're looking for everything. So it's going to take a wee while to get some of these guys up to speed. But when they do, it's going to be magnificent, I would say.
Is that the acceptance that, reading Steve Hansen's comments, I think this morning as well, he said that maybe teams took us lightly last year. Because I think, the word that you use and Foxy and Steve have used to me in radio interviews is they were surprised by how well you guys did last year, minus the 800 caps. So I think at the moment, I don't think you guys have played your best rugby. I think you'd accept that. But you've also got to blood these guys and give them the chance to build into, as you say, so when they get to the big occasion, which is a World Cup in 2 years' time, they've been through the tough times. Is that where we're at the moment?
We've just talked about my career. I've had to do that as a coach, go through the tough times and you get better. You hope you get better. You certainly add, it's like building blocks, and every experience, whether it's good or bad, you just stack them up and just keep jumping up on top. And that's what the game's like. And so these guys will learn, and we've got some exceptional talent. Yeah. Whether teams took us lightly last year, I look at it another way. I think our new players coming in wanted to prove that they could handle it without Richie, without Dan, without Conrad, Ma, Kevy and Tony, who are probably some of the greatest players in history. I think they came in and tried to prove that we can continue this legacy, and I think that really drove us. Last year, and we did. We set a world record. We played some great rugby. We're starting to fall over at the end of the year, but that's to be expected. So I'm not sure teams took us lightly, but certainly it sharpened the claws for this year. And every team you play, but every team, every All Blacks are the same. Every team you play against is their biggest. It's their biggest occasion.
They
get a chance to
be
immortalised.
Is Bowden this far away, or is Bowden under the sort of pressure that some are alleging at the moment? The 2016 Bowden Barrett is not the 2017 Bowden Barrett.
Well, I think he's a top point scorer in world test rugby this year, for a start. We've got huge expectations of him as a country, and what he did last year is phenomenal. He's a great kid, but he's learning like everyone else. So he's having to make more decisions. Like, the game's easy if you just go out and you're told to do one thing and you just play that way. As I say, we're trying to develop the decision-making, both in attack and defence, and So there's a lot of things these guys have to handle. They do a lot of homework. They have a lot of tasks they've got to do on the computer, make sure they're looking at games. We do presentations for them. They take notes. And we test that at training with unpredicted events, with throwing stuff at them. So it's a whole, you know, you're growing their ability to handle the occasion, but also to make better decisions. And there's bound to be times when you're going to struggle.
How much have you had to reinvent yourself as coach? Now, you know, Steve's come out famously and said, let's chuck the rule book out. And I know Fozzie was trying to explain to me the pod system a couple of years ago, where it was, I think it came from a game at pool, is this correct, if I'm remembering rightly, where he was going, this is how it works in the NRL, and we're going to have, you know, Kieran Reid and Savera on the right in the pods and all this stuff.
Yeah.
How many times, Wayne, have you had to go, actually, what I'm doing now isn't going to work in a year's time, I've got to come up with a new game plan here?
Well, we're doing that constantly, because we share a lot of ideas. We share a hell of a lot of IP. We've got a lot of coaches that come in. Every week we've got coaches in here. And our philosophy's always been, and this is led by Ted as well, share what you've got, because when they walk out the door, you've got to create something new. You've got to go to the next level, because you've already given away what you're doing. And so we're driven by that. And, you know, if this is a scale, and the All Blacks are here, and you're sharing ideas, and teams are reading legacy or whatever they're doing, they're trying to get to there, that's fine, because we're trying to get to there.
Right.
You know, we're trying to innovate all the time. We read a great book, actually, last year. The whole management team read a great book called The Rise of Superman, and about extreme sports. And so we tried to see how what we could take out of that to sort of take the present forward quicker. So how can we be today what we need to be in 2019?
Awesome.
That sort of philosophy. So yeah, that's always driven the All Blacks. You know, if you read about Gallagher in 1905 on the boat on the way over to Europe, changed the game, created a wing forward position within the laws, arrived in Europe, played the position himself, is sometimes in the forwards, sometimes in the backs. That's number eight wire, that's innovation, that's what is great about New Zealand and the All Blacks, I reckon.
Couple of things, Wayne Smith, to wrap up. You have had some big offers over your time. We talk about England, and I pumped you a number of times when you were with the Chiefs. Wayne, what are you going to do here? Why did you not? And philosophically now, I'd imagine, you know, what do you do if the likes of an Argentina, for example, came and said, would you come work with us for a couple of weeks, or in Italy? Is it your view that you wouldn't coach against the All Blacks, or is that open to you? And I'm not talking about full-time. I'm talking about gun sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll never do anything that is seen to be disloyal or hurts the All Black legacy here. So, as an example, I've been asked to help a couple of teams. I've always gone back to Steve Chew and said, is this a team that would worry you? And he'll say, yep, no, you couldn't help them. Or he'll say, yep, no, go and help them, because we're trying to develop them. So I will do some work with some teams. As an example, Trish and I lived in Italy with our boys for 4 years. I love Italian life. We'll spend a bit of time in Italy. So if Conor O'Shea wants me to
give
him a hand for a couple of weeks, I'll go for a couple of weeks. Doesn't mean I'm going to coach them. I'm not going to coach them against the All Blacks. I'm not going to coach another team full time, I wouldn't think. So, but I wouldn't do that for a Tier 1 team.
How much do you give away? How much of that OFP do you give away?
I'm always asking myself that question. You don't give away any current IP, because that's sacred. I'm part of a business called the Rugby Site, which is a worldwide rugby site, and so I've got about 14 videos on there on coaching, but they are basic videos that don't really give any IP away, that are just about good technique, safety, because
right,
the two things are the same, good safe techniques, effective techniques. I've tried to focus on that rather than give anything away that would be hurtful to the All Blacks. So that's why I've always tried to operate, and that's how I'll operate in the future. Of course, in a couple of years, what I know now will be redundant, so it'll because it changes so quickly.
Did you ever get close to that England deal? Because they were offering you massive coin. Did you think hard, or was it... Did it always feel uncomfortable?
It always felt uncomfortable, but I'm like anyone else. You can be seduced by the thought of the money.
Because Eddie Jones at the moment is heralded as the Messiah at the moment, isn't
he? Yeah,
I mean, look at that. I mean, he can't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sort of so interested in that. I'd rather... if I could coach from a cave, I'd be quite happy.
Would Trish be happy, though, if the cave all of a sudden... Trish
would have a good garden around it.
We've got a new home.
Yeah, it'd have a good garden. I'm not seduced by that, but of course the money, you think of the yachts and in the harbour, what your life could be, but I'm really well looked after here by New Zealand Rugby. Steve Chew's been incredible to me. Neil Sorensen, I've had huge support from them, both financially and emotionally. And I owe them a hell of a lot. I owe Steve and Bert and Fozzie and Crono and Shandy. I owe all these people a lot, you know. We've been through a lot together, so that's why it's always won out for me.
Do you see maybe a role for you in New Zealand Rugby still with going around the franchises, Mitre 10 Cup, the junior teams, keeping that development going? Is that something that appeals?
I've got a role if I want it. I think initially, we've got a grandson here in Auckland. We've got a motorhome that hasn't done many kilometres yet.
Is it the full-on Winnebago with the old sides that come out?
No. It's good. It's nice. It's good. We'll take a bit of a break. I think 2018, we'll do a bit of travelling. I'll do a couple of projects to keep my hand in. But I think long term, I've already sat down and talked to Chewy and Neil Sorensen and Don Tricker, who's head of high performance, around the future, what that might look like. But we'll make decisions sort of down the track about that. Part of the job that I love at the moment is going to Super Rugby franchises, because I've coached most of the coaches and I love that relationship, and I enjoy nothing better than going and having a cup of coffee with them and sharing ideas about the game and learning about the game and talking about old times. Yeah, I really love that. So potentially, there's opportunity for me there in the future, but we'll just
wait and see.
Yeah.
Last couple of things. I said to Fozzie that, this is Ian Foster, by the way, guys, I'm sort of going to become his campaign manager, that I want him to take over as the All Black coach. And a lot of people sit back and say, oh, is that the way to go, continuity? They've already said they want to reappoint prior to 2019 World Cup, have him as part of. And when this happened with Steve, I remember Phil Gifford saying to me on my show, it's never going to happen. And then on came Chewy at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd sort of got the inside oil that it was going to happen. I like this concept, and I like the fact that continuity follows through. Fozzie?
Yeah, I like the concept. Fozzie, so I didn't know Fozzie that well when he was coaching Chiefs. Obviously I knew him in a relationship as an All Black coach and selector, and he'd been a coach of one of the top franchises, but I've really come to admire his work within the team. Oh, he's got a great personality, as you know. He's got good connections with the players, so he's got an existing persona, if you like, as All Black coach. He's assistant head coach to Steve. He shares a lot of the jobs, a lot of the tasks, a lot of the decision making. So he's been primed, I think, to take over, and I like that continuity. Also like the fact that there is the ability to bring some of these coaches back and work with someone like Foz. And we've got other young coaches in the country that are coming through. They're going to be exceptional coaches. So I think it's in good stead. I'm in favour of that concept.
All right, I'm going to put you under one challenge to wrap up here, and you cannot say I'm not going to do it, because Wayne Smith, I've been waiting for God knows how many years to ask you these questions. We're going to go for an All Black back line. Let's start, fullback. Who's your first choice fullback out of all the players you've coached?
So I can never answer these questions.
No, I know you can't. And normally you'd say to me it'd be unfair, but you're leaving now, so you're going to...
Well, I can't answer them because I've had Christian Cullen, Mills Muliaina, Leon McDonald, Ben Smith, Israel Dagg. It's just too tough a question to answer, so can I pick five teams?
And God, then what are we going to do with the wingers? Because, are you going to have 30 wingers?
Mate, well, I played with JK and Stu Wilson, who would push for positions.
Let me make this simple for you. You have coached some incredible players, haven't you?
And I played with some incredible players too. Yeah.
Foxy said you used to clean his boots. 84, do you remember that?
Other way around.
No. He said this true story. Yeah, no, I did. You came to him, and Foxy was a stickler for clean boots, and you went and cleaned his boots. What was that about?
He was playing. He was going to play that game.
So you scrubbed his...
Yeah, well, by the end of 85, I knew we had a new young superstar coming through. That's why I went to Italy in 86. Foxy had been in 84, 85.
Stage left gone.
And he was going to be better than me, and it was time to go. And I feel a wee bit the same now. You know, I'm stepping out at the right time as a coach, and I think Scott McLeod's going to be fantastic. He's a former All Black, which I think is good. It's good to have someone who's played for the team in the environment, I think, to help with that legacy. He's won a Super Rugby competition with the Highlanders, and he's a learner. I really like that in him, and he's going to be fresh. And you've always got to, you know, when you pass the baton on, you know, the All Black jersey's a jewel that you need to polish, you know, and keep it sparkling. And so as a player, when you hand that on, you hope it's in a reasonable condition. And then you try and make it better. Well, Foxy definitely made it better when I handed it over. And it's the same as, I feel the same as a coach. You know, you've had a good career. It was time to hand it over and... you know, Stormy's chance to now polish it and make it better. So,
I'll leave you with this. What are you going to be like in the motorhome? And I'm hoping you've got Sky hooked up to the motorhome. My parents have got it, so they've got a Winnebago.
Mate, right? I got a My Sky card that goes in the back of the TV.
Brilliant.
I miss nothing.
Brilliant. So what are you going to be like as a fan now? How are you going to be minus one of the great influences of your life, the All Blacks?
Well, I've done this before. So I've been away before.
But not forever, though.
That's right. And I've always... So I've been at Chiefs, for example. So I had... And that was full on. So you didn't really have enough time to think about it. How will I be? I'm ready, I think. I think I'll be... I'm happy with where we've been and where we're at. Thankful, feel blessed that I've had the opportunities. And I'm going to enjoy... watching the game with a beer in the hand rather than my heart in my mouth.
Congratulations on an incredible run. I really mean this. It's been absolute pleasure to deal with you. I've never seen you grumpy. I've never had the phone call from
you. Ask the players.
I've had it from Hanson. I've had it from Foxy.
I've never had the old, I don't worry about
what
that.
The hell are you on about? So you do get grumpy?
Well, if you ask the player, like, the players would sound pretty intense at times. And whilst... my public persona is probably pretty calm, and I think people know I'm intense about the All Blacks. But yeah, I can get pretty uptight, mate, and grumpy with the boys.
I really say this. So it has been a pleasure. I wish you well in retirement and doing whatever comes your way. You deserve it, mate. It's been a genuine pleasure.
Same.
There you go. That was terrific.
Good.